Vancouver's rock and roll.
Hi there. You're listening to What's in the Hat on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Musqueam people at the University of British Columbia.
Good. Okay, well, welcome, Kelly and Alice.
To What's in the Hat.
Thank you.
We have a special episode today.
It's both accessibility themed as well as hip-hop. Yeah, exactly. Yay. So I'm Hannah, but I'll let you both introduce yourselves as well.
I'm Alice.
And I'm Kelly.
Perfect. And yeah, we're at CITR on the traditional unceded lands of the Musqueam people. And anything new? Everyone enjoying the nice weather today?
Well, I went yesterday to All Bodies Dance Party because I have two friends that are in that contemporary group. And I met a lot of dancers in the community. Kevin was not there, so it was weird. We missed him.
Oh, yeah.
And then we're like promoting Soul Abilities at the same time I was promoting it.
Beautiful.
And then we met the DJ, and then he knows Kevin, and then we were like small talk, and then we're talking about other community dance events coming up.
Nice. Amazing. And Alice, I think I'm going to have you take the lead in asking Kelly what we ask all our new guests. The Fellow Five questionnaire, as you're very familiar.
Okay. Kelly, first question. What would you say is your biggest passion?
Biggest passion? That's hard. Probably movement, if I'm going to be really broad. Because my two passions, if I could say two, would be probably skiing and dance.
I know.
Being a dad, if I can add a third, that would probably be first, actually.
Second question. What is your relationship with disability or the disability community?
My relationship. So ongoing or where we started from?
Either or.
Okay. I was actually going to UBC Okanagan at the time when I got introduced to I had an opportunity to start a UBCO hip hop club. And I had a couple of students who approached me in the days after when we were trying to organize our first classes up on the campus. And I had a couple individuals who said, would you teach someone with autism? And I thought, oh, that's interesting. I was learning about all different things in my psychology undergraduate degree. And I thought, well, why not?
Me so, too. Yeah. I also did psych undergrad.
Yeah, well, we're learning a lot.
And so that was kind of my first dip in of like, oh, okay, let's do this. Yes. Why not?
Mm-hmm. Third question. What's one thing on your bucket list?
Being a skier, I've always wanted to go to Austria and watch a famous men's downhill that's been around since like the 1930s. If you don't watch skiing, it's a really fast ski race where they go up to like 150 kilometers an hour. I've always wanted to go to that race in Kitzbühel, Austria, where there's like 50,000 people on the finish line.
Wow, it's interesting. 1930.
Yeah, the F1 of ski racing races.
Yeah. Oh, very cool.
And the fourth one, this is a good one. What is a surprising or unique trait about yourself?
Trait?
Yeah, a surprising or unique trait about yourself.
Trait.
Surprising or unique?
Well, for people that don't know me really well, I'm a bit of a candy addict. So into Sour Patch Kids.
This.
Pleasure.
Oh, I love those.
Most people, yeah, who know me well know that I'm a candy fiend.
And fifth question, what animal would be your psychic?
Ooh.
Mine was owl, I think.
Psychic?
Oh, sidekick.
Oh, sidekick.
Yeah.
Thanks for clarifying. Probably a wolf.
Oh, that's
neat. Yeah. Because it's kind of my spirit animal, and if you will. I'm a scavenger. I like to hustle. I like to make networking connections. And so, I'd say definitely a wolf.
Maybe leader or the pack?
Maybe
leader.
Or the side. Whichever was suiting me better.
Yeah. Okay, so next up we have the In With Forward
card game.
Yeah, Alice already everybody knows, where Kelly, since you haven't played before,
Kelly first.
Essentially, you get to pick either a sound, image, or memory prompt, and you have to share kind of the first memory that comes to mind given that prompt. Yeah, that's basically it. And then you can share if it's a memory of connection or disconnection or something in between.
Like it prompts along the way.
Yeah.
Okay, except I don't remember all three on the
screen. Yeah, yeah.
I think
so
it picks one.
Image,
right?
Yeah, you can pick one. Image, sound, or memory.
Image, sound, or memory, okay.
Which one?
Jinx. This. I never pick memory because I'm not good at memory.
Probably image.
Okay. Do you want me to pick for you? Because you're kind of far away.
Or we can do like this.
Oh yeah, here, Alice, you
let's
can
make this novel.
Or like this. Like pick a card.
Any card?
Yeah.
Okay. This is not. That's a. Okay. It's not it.
Keep those down. I might cheat.
Cheat. Okay.
And if you could describe the image for the viewers.
So I have to describe without saying what it is?
No, you can describe it for the audio viewers who won't see
audio
the image.
Lots of colors.
This.
Square. Face.
So
explosions.
Okay, and from that image, what's the memory that comes to mind for you?
Whoa, this is a random one.
You can show Alice the image. She can see it.
Ooh. Oh, that's cool. That reminds me very hip hop.
It is actually. Very hip hop.
Well, because I draw cartoon things like that. So
what does it remind you of?
Ooh, so that would be hard. Probably my traits, because they're all over the place. personality traits. If you wouldn't one, you wouldn't predict the other.
It's a box.
Probably not.
It is.
Thank you.
And which one do you want to do, Alice?
Not the memory one.
You want to do image as well, or sound?
Image.
Okay.
Let's see. Oh, this is neat.
Can you describe
it? It's like a tree and like a path.
Mm-hmm.
It's mainly like a lot of like nature.
Okay. And so,
this one.
Yeah, let's see.
Nice. I guess like walking with my mom at Stanley Park, that would be the first thing I could think with this one.
Nice.
I can see that.
Yeah. That's
That's very big. That's money one. Miles of you.
Yeah, we have to
Park.
Tell Miles. Big money Miles would do that. Yeah.
He loves it's walking true. In Stanley Park. Yeah. Okay, very good. I guess that leaves us to our next segment, which is our main hat segment. Yay!
What's
in What
it
the show is all about.
Whose turn it is? And last time, Kirsten and I were like,
yeah.
Whose turn is it?
It doesn't really matter the order you go in. So, Alice, you can ask a
I'll
question
ask
of
Kelly.
Kelly.
Is it either side? Is it still double sided? Or are these symbol ones?
The hip hop questions are single sided.
Oh, this is so you. When or why did you get into hip hop? We're back to this now. This is a good one. This.
How did I get into hip hop? Well,
is this
like
why
say,
or when? Oh.
Ooh, is this a long story short or?
It's like why or when?
Long story, long story.
Why and when?
It's up to you. It's up to you.
I'd have to say, well, I actually discovered dance later in life. And by later, I mean like 19. So a lot of the people that I knew involved in dance were like super young. Got into ballet, 3 years old, whatever, doing
right.
their thing, piano lessons, whatever. A lot of people, a lot of kids do a lot of different things. But I always played sports as a kid. So growing up, you know, hockey was the obvious, the obvious one. I did a lot of different things, roller hockey, you know, baseball and such. But when I turned 19, actually, when I did my first couple of years at Capilano University, it was college at the time.
So nostalgic.
I did my university transfer up to UBC Okanagan. And growing up, I'd always watch music videos of Michael Jackson, all different artists.
Same.
just trying to mimic the moves. I'd, you know, watch these shows, tape them on a VCR.
Michael Jackson.
But I would never really aspire to being a dancer. I always thought it was cool and this sort of thing, and I love sports. But growing up, you know, you grow up as you do, and moved up to UBC Okanagan in Kelowna. And basically, I wanted to get into dance a little bit more, so I actually started taking a bit of ballroom dancing.
Yeah, yeah.
Randomly.
Ballroom.
You know, I kind of got coaxed into a buddy. Oh, you should come out. You know, what the heck? I'll go check it out. You know, started taking salsa.
I love salsa.
Yeah, different styles and ballroom styles. And then, you know, I really like hip hop. I kind of, you know,
do
my thing at home in my own room, just trying to pop. I didn't really even know what that was. But I'd always try to kind of mimic styles off MTV, and you know, like every kid did.
Much music in MTV, yeah. Rap City.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. Rap City. But yeah, so I would do kind of that thing, and then actually, how I got socialized is when you're 19, you know, you can go and maybe start going to the clubs, experimenting, and you know, people dance in clubs. And so I thought, oh, I'll just, you know, do my thing there, because I always loved going to high school dances. Some people were shy going to high school.
Yeah, dance. Some people hate going to high school dances.
Right?
It's definitely a love or hate.
Dance, I too love you. But I always remember feeling that intensity to want to dance, but yes. I couldn't move myself to doing it. Mm-hmm. And I think it was just, you know, maybe the rhetoric of guys don't dance and this and that. Mm-hmm. There's all different, you know, social things back then. But I think what really stood out to me was that boiling point in my body where I really wanted to dance.
It's like, it's time.
I didn't have the class knowledge or the, you know, 10 years behind me
from kids
did, right? When they were like starting ballet at the age of 3. Mm-hmm. So I started doing dancing in the club scene, just going, and I was socialized very different because, you know, some people go there to do different things. I went there to dance. I wanted to just dance because, you
know. Like me.
Yeah. And so I'd be drinking a lot of water and just dancing, sweating, and all this stuff. And I started going with a good friend of mine from high school, actually, that I had disconnected with because I moved up to Kelowna. When I moved back down after I graduated.
There is the connection.
Yeah. 2009, he said he had been starting to take classes at Harper Dance Center downtown Vancouver, and he's like, this is the place to go. So we started taking class together, and I was not good at choreography. Still not good. Biggest challenge ever. But, you know, I started taking classes, getting a little bit better and chipping away at it. And then we had a suggestion, oh, you can try out for this company called Soldiers, which is a training hip hop company.
I've never heard of
it. So that was kind of the beginning of the end and getting into kind of that world, and actually got chosen as an apprentice for the dance company, which shocked me because I didn't think I was good at all. And I was probably not because I was getting in as an apprentice, but they wanted to give me a chance. And so we got in, my friend who auditioned at the same time, shout out to Tony, you know who you are. He got in as a company B. There's company A, company B, and they kind of move you up based on the skills. Mm-hmm. And so eventually, third year, I made it up to company A, and we're, you know, learning from people all over the world. They're so flying in people from Japan, you know, New York, all friends of the director in her hip-hop days, right, growing up in Vancouver. And so she brought a lot of her experiences from training down in the United States in LA, which is a huge hub for hip-hop. Mm-hmm. If you're looking to audition and get into roles, everyone kind of knows Hollywood. But yeah, that's kind of how I got started. And then the rest is the end, right?
It goes from there.
Yeah, for years, did some auditions, you know, did some TV show stuff. But that's kind of where I started.
It's
choreography is actually my big passion, but all that.
Could you tell us a bit more about what Soul Abilities is? Like what that current endeavor that you're both going down?
You want to answer first?
I'm still learning that, and there was a lot of surprises down the way, and I still have questions.
You can all interview each
other. I know, it's like you had this dream, and then possibilities, because I did my research, I was very confused. And then possibilities and Kiriko came together and they helped you put this dream together, as you said, on the mic.
Oh, yeah.
And then, yeah, and then after, like, you were like the MC at that time when I didn't know who you were on the mic. And it's just adapted project. That's all I know of it. Like for everybody, exclusive hip hop for the community to come together and dance. That's what I know of.
That's in a nutshell. Yeah, yeah.
This.
It started, and I could probably do this long story short. So I kind of had this idea. It's actually when I, you know, became a behavior consultant for the first time working for Possibilities. And I remember in the interview at the end, they asked me if I had any other passions besides what I was essentially here to do, which is behavior consultant. And so it's what I went to school for, behavior consultation and being a behavior analyst. And so that was my big reason for being in that interview.
Like but when
they asked me what else I, you know, was interested in at the time, I said, well, dance. I love hip hop. I love like street dance culture and all that. And so they go, oh, maybe there's a place for it, you know, down the line. We're all about, you know, bringing in other people's, you know, your skills as well as just not the one you're, you know, interviewing for. And so I thought that was interesting that 3 years later it kind of got brought up in a meeting, and this was right before COVID hit, actually. So timelines. 2017 I got the job, and then 3 years later, right? And so
it was a video. That's all I know.
To maybe put together a proposal for some kind of dance class or anything like that. So I actually put a SurveyMonkey up. The SurveyMonkey during COVID was because when everything was getting shut down and that sort of thing, and people still wanted to do dance classes, yoga, do whatever they did as their passions or their workouts or whatever, whatever brought them joy. And one of the first ones that came up was, you know, our community dance classes or yoga. So I was like, well, maybe we can put something together with that original dream of bringing in what I knew about, you know, human behavior and being able to adapt my passion of dance into something that included everyone. And that's kind of our slogan in Soul Abilities, is is for everybody, right? So
love, peace, and
love, peace,
says on your shirt,
having
unity and having fun.
Got it. Yeah, so that's kind of our slogan, right? Because that's really what it is, you know, because coming up in the ranks of, you know, auditioning and getting into the company, there were a lot of great dancers. Over the years when I've been teaching, I taught kid classes, I taught adult classes in the school system a bit for subcontract work. Really what I kind of realized is that a lot of people were telling me as feedback, you know, I don't want to do that class because there's so many great dancers in there. And I thought that was interesting, right? Because why do people take intro classes? I thought it was a very linear perspective where it was like, well, to get better, to learn, right?
You have to start somewhere.
Right. And so everyone has, you know, little things in their bodies that tell them, little whisper, should you not do it? You know, do you have anxiety about it? This sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I really wanted to create a culture where essentially it makes people feel good to try something new that they might feel nervous about, right? And to dance like no one's watching, that kind of slogan, right? And so that's really what we want Soul Abilities to come. And if I'm going to break apart the word real quick, just to cap it off, was Soul is giving homage a bit to the Soldiers Dance Company that brought me up and taught me about hip-hop dance. And Abilities being Possibilities, where I work, which really supported me in putting all of this vision together, right?
So I
wanted to pay homage to both of those, and it really just fit. And so, yeah, we went with that. We designed the logo with Detto. Shout out to Detto. Nelson.
Shout out to them.
Alice and I, actually, if you want to talk a bit about that.
Oh my God, that's another whole story. It goes way back in time. It goes really back in time.
Alice is a fan, Detto. But I'd known him for quite a long time. And so we kind of collaborated on this project where I had a vision of what I wanted to release.
I didn't even know they were the shirt till after.
Yeah, in terms of the art and what I wanted to project. And if you actually put the logo on the back.
Yeah, it's really cool.
So actually, if you could just stand up, we'll use a guinea pig if you don't mind, Alice. Yeah, so you see this image, it's four characters. And, you know, not to get too political about the four elements or the seven elements of hip hop. But what you'll notice in this is four characters, and the four elements of hip hop actually are the original elements, right? So we have MC. Which is this gal on the mic over here with the microphone, big mouth open. She has something to say to the community. Then we have this actually gets inspired, and I'll let you take your guesses if you're a graffiti fan and local graffiti fan.
There's your hand.
So that's the guy with the spray can. Because again, right, like at the time in New York when hip hop was becoming its own subculture, the whole mass thing, and Detto's can go into this too. I think we should maybe maybe do a collaboration podcast for a second time.
Yeah.
But that has a lot of different reasons. But yeah, like, you don't want to inhale spray paint, right? Mm-hmm. That could be a reason. But I'll let you up to your, you know, listeners and viewers to research that. But the spray paint, he's our graffiti element. And then, but it's not him. It's kind of made to personify him because he helped really help me create the logo. And I want to give him, you know, respect and credit for that because he made an amazing final product. And then we have our gal here. So you'll notice after the L in Soul, she has these hands of gratitude. Mm-hmm. And for those of you that have looked at the logo and wondering what that means in the logo, and it's all also actually reflected in the front of Alice's shirt, but I'll keep you turned around for a second, Alice, just to explain. Almost done. So you'll notice the ground under her is breaking. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to make this a bit of a groundbreaking movement. It was super important as well because we wanted to not make your mark out of ego, because I think that's a really important thing to kind of note, is that we're not about ego, we're about doors opening. Mm-hmm. And so we wanted to be able to do something that was a little bit different, and that's where the groundbreaking visualization kind of comes from there, because we want to do something a bit different to allow people to feel comfortable coming into our movement. Mm-hmm. And so that's that. And actually the first set of four videos that we filmed on our YouTube channel on Possibilities, you can go check it out. We had an individual who was in a wheelchair doing the dance and the choreography in the videos as well. And so through our whole message of hip hop is for everyone, is we're all inclusive in that respect, where everyone is welcome. And that was to personify that and give credit to that and respect to that. And then our DJ on the other side. So he's actually looking in on what the others are doing. So you'll notice with everyone's direction in the logo, everyone's looking in different directions because they're seeking different inspiration, but they're together as a group. Mm-hmm. So we want to look outwards for inspiration, but we also want to take that back and make it our own because it is a subculture. So we want, those are all kind of reasons why we put that together. And if you want to turn around this is actually Dedos's signature. So that's kind of his way of signing his name. And I thought that would be a cool spin.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you look really closely just to cap it off, you'll notice the needles on the side for the record player.
Notice that.
Yeah, that's a turntable.
I have one of these shirts and I didn't notice that. That's so cool.
This is actually Dedos's idea as well, as on the upper Soul and Abilities, this West Coast graffiti art.
So cool.
Yeah. And well, community love and having fun is our slogan, which actually is a slogan created by Afrika Bambaataa, who's actually one of the grandfathers of hip-hop, who started it. So we wanted to carry that forward and spread that goodness.
Also, the DJ Cool was the original.
DJ Cool Herc. Yeah.
Herc.
One of them.
Great. Yeah.
What's in the Hat? We'll be right back after this short break.
Looking for an audio escape to put your mind at ease? Landscapes by Dune is a musical journey through sampling and field recording. From the busy streets of Toronto to BC's picturesque landscapes, the Belgian artist recorded an array of sounds during his travels across Canada. Landscapes will be released on Pop Qatari Records Bandcamp on December 8th and will be available on all streaming platforms on December 15th. For more information, check out at Dune as Dune on Facebook, Instagram, and SoundCloud.
If the news are getting you down or you're tired of scrolling on your phone, Massey Books is the one-stop shop for you. A 100% Indigenous-owned business that is committed to giving back to local charities, community initiatives, and organizations, Massey Books has a vast selection of rare and unique books, as well as a diverse range of books that are from underrepresented authors. You can shop online at masseybooks.com or visit their store on 229 East Georgia Street in Chinatown. They are open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Wednesday to Saturday and 12 to 5 from Sunday to Tuesday. Their friendly staff would love to give you a hand to find your new favorite read.
All right, back to the show.
So, well, whenever I wear one of those shirts, I always get compliments and I always get people asking questions, which is even
one
better.
One person was like, I don't think I could draw like that. They thought it was really neat.
Yeah.
He's legit.
Yeah.
I'll shout out to Dedos.
You can have Kelly ask you a question.
Okay. Love to do that. Let's turn the tables here.
This, get it, turn tables.
Literally.
There you go. Listeners, a lot of innuendos here. Hip hop innuendos. All right, here we go. If you were a singer, what kind of music would you sing?
Well, this no one knows, but I have soprano voice, but I'm kind of chicken. So that's why no one has ever heard it. Because I was like 8.
We'll work on that.
So I have like stage fright issues. So I had to go to Curico and get some lesson, which is on hold. But I would say
that's
like,
interesting though.
But
stage
it's not
fright,
like, okay,
just
it's not
for
like
singing.
Mariah Carey, and it's not like Ariana Grande. Maybe something in the middle. But it's really good. But I have stage fright.
But do you have stage fright more for singing than for dance?
Yeah, the dance, no problem. Oh, singing was always an issue.
I see.
I can actually ask you a follow-up question, but I'll let Hannah take
okay.
it. I had that
what
same
kind of singing? I don't know, anything in like soprano voice.
Okay.
It's not like opera, that's a bit extreme. Not that high. Like Mariah Carey is like 6 octave, Ariana Grande is a 4.
Yeah.
So I don't know which
well,
one.
You seem
I would
to
be
the expert on that.
So. I'm not sure. It's somewhere between.
Yeah.
It's like anything that's like. Maybe Disney princess stuff. I like Aurora songs.
Oh, yeah.
I sing those a lot in Disneyland.
Yeah.
And every time I sing it at my work with the teenagers, like, they want me to keep singing. And I'm like, I need a break. Just keep singing. So I get like Aurora's song, like Disney music. Mm-hmm. That's a princess Disney music to start.
And Kelly, what was your stage fright question?
Well, I didn't want to be the interviewer here.
Yeah.
A very commonality in this situation here, because I actually also have a lot of stage fright.
Really?
What?
It's something I actually
worked on. Oh, yeah, we were both nervous before going on stage.
Oh, totally. Whether it's a big audition or it's a small audition, I always get those butterflies. And I always try to ask myself, what is that, right? Mm-hmm. Because with some things, and actually if you know any B-boys, if the listeners have followed me,
there
B-boy
is so many
Cloud there. Is someone that comes to name. And he actually has a really good TED Talks. Everyone should check it out.
Mm-hmm.
If
it
you
want to
go TED, I believe he was presenting in Greece at the time for a TED Talks. Actually, really interesting. But he talked about stage fright for dance versus stage fright for something else on stage. So he's a dancer. He's a B-boy.
Mm-hmm.
He's in, you know, movies like some famous one. You know the one I'm talking about.
Wait, the famous?
The
which famous,
famous Twitch
one?
In it.
With Twitch?
Sorry. Twitch.
Moose. Oh, yeah.
You know the one. I'll let
It was Step Up. I was obsessed. That's another thing. And it was,
oh, Step Up. Oh, I've seen that.
Yeah. My mom knows. She's like, drove her nuts about
that. So there's that scene where they're in a college or university and they're battling in the schoolyard. And he goes up against this guy who's
Step
really
Up
good.
Two's my favorite.
Adam Savani's the actor, but he plays Moose in that series.
I love Moose. He's one of my favorites.
Yeah, he's a crowd pleaser. And so, he ended up battling that guy who's actually his stage name is B-Boy Cloud. And he actually does a popular TED Talk on what made him nervous, because they actually called him up. His agent said, hey, you want to do a TED Talk? He was terrified. And he actually does whole stage reenactment of how this made him feel nervous.
Wow.
He was on the other line answering the phone, and he did a freestyle to the presentation of all of this.
There you go.
Because he was actually... A lot of people might think that we can generalize skills of stage fright from one stage presentation to another, but his was public speaking. That was a fear.
That's another one.
Right? And then the other one, he didn't have another fear. That was his fear. But the other one, like he didn't fear, obviously, was dancing because he loved performing.
Yeah.
So it actually, that confidence that he kind of exuded didn't translate over to public speaking. And so I found that interesting, and I kind of felt that too, as I always had stage fright. But I always like
there's different
like
ones.
This.
Yeah.
Different
public
types.
Speaking I've learned I had to take actually from possibilities. There was the Toastmasters.
Oh yeah.
I had public speaking issues, and then after I volunteer at Grouse is another story. But I learned all this because I had to be with the tourism industry. So I took Toastmasters, which led to helping me to work at Grouse, which also helped me with more confidence in speaking. That's why now I don't, but at the beginning I was chicken.
And it helps you now. Look at you now.
I've done many things over the years. One door led to the next.
Exactly.
Well, that's it. When you knock on one opens. If one closes, another one opens somewhere else, right?
It is.
Wow. Yeah.
That's
all
neat. We learn
other.
More about Step Up now.
Okay, next question.
Another one. Your turn, you're up.
There's like two sizes, this one. Oh, wait.
If you want a hip-hop one, those ones aren't two-sided. So you can fish around.
Nah, hip-hop one.
Okay.
Yeah, this is for you.
Okay.
What advice would you give someone who is new to hip-hop?
New to hip-hop.
This.
Well, this is interesting because being a dance teacher and a teacher of different things, I would have to say the controversial one, make yourself uncomfortable.
Yeah, so, that's the start of it.
Yeah. I think that there's two sides of comfort, the ones that keep you in a spot where you are, and that can be a very positive thing, right? That's a good kind of comfort. People sit in that, and they feel comfortable. They don't feel anxiety. They don't feel pressure, right?
Pushes you to the spot.
Yeah, and then you might sign up for a situation, and then that situation changes. And when I say that metaphorically, like, you know, if someone who's in a relationship doesn't turn good, but then it becomes comfortable.
Yeah.
Right? Those things are hard to get out of, right?
Because
there's a dependency on that comfort. And so that can happen at a conscious and a subconscious level, not to get too scientific, right? But, you know, if you can make yourself uncomfortable and you know that it's a safe space, right? Say it's something you really want to do, right? Like, I really wanted to dance, but I always felt that pressure that I couldn't, or I didn't quite have the skill level.
Yeah.
I think that's why a lot of people don't want to even do a beginner class, because they feel like, oh,
they worry they're not good enough. The skill level.
We're all selected for a group, and that's the thing in dance class. When you do choreography, is they might do groups at the end where they choose and pick and cherry pick dancers, and they'll be like, okay, I want you and you. You go up in front of the class, you might film, and those are the typical ones that you'd see on a YouTube where it looks like they're taking a class.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of professional choreographers now that do like group videos on their YouTube channel, and you get to see their class that they taught, and it's like they're really good, right? So it creates that anxiety, and then it might push people away. So that would be one thing I would definitely say, is make yourself a little bit uncomfortable.
Get out of the comfort zone, Hannah.
Not
that this is a strategy, right? But I forced myself to start moving in some of those high school dances that we're talking about the very beginning. And after I started, I couldn't stop.
Yeah.
So you might surprise yourself.
Yeah.
That was always the one that they made you in high school, and I didn't like it.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, don't touch the guy's hands, gross, it's sweaty. And I was in grade 9, and they make you, and I was like, yeah, oh, God, was this over? Yes.
Stay on that side, I'll stay over here.
It's always
but
so hot in there.
But then they make you, so you had to do it. So it started from
I have my opinions about, you know, forcing someone into a dance cipher where they're maybe uncomfortable, and then they might have a bad experience. Like, we definitely have things that we would do in something like that where everyone would feel comfortable doing something. It's all about scaffolding. Let's see.
There's like so many in there.
I know, there's a lot of choice.
Let's see.
I tried to get you to be B-Girl Hannah.
Okay. What is your favorite color?
But it's not really a color, though. Do we have to go color?
That's okay.
Okay.
Because black is not color.
You think black's not a color?
No, black and white are a shade.
Oh, I actually didn't know that.
I took
You're
a lot of art. Because I'm also an artist, so that's another story. But I took art since like elementary school.
But you do like black. That's your favorite.
The shade,
I was about to say, I was like, if it's your least favorite, you're wearing all black.
Color would be red.
Okay.
Be color.
Okay.
Yeah. It's hard to pick a least favorite. I mean, all their colors are
favorite.
Their purpose.
The rose is like yellow is like pee.
Okay.
Or like poop, like green and like brown.
Yeah.
I have permission to ask a question.
Yes.
Why do you like black?
I don't know.
Okay.
I've always loved it.
I like
that's
black
a good
as well.
Question.
Yeah.
Maybe because I always liked Halloween and it's
dark. Oh, true. You are Halloween.
That's
girl.
Another story.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good one. All right.
We some are not hip hop. They're very random.
We have time for like two or three more questions.
Let's see. Keep digging.
Yeah, dig.
Ah, this is Kelly one.
Oh boy.
What is your signature dance move on the dance floor?
Ooh,
as a teacher, this is a good. This is a good one for you. This.
I mean,
signature move or dance
classic.
Move.
Anyone can do it.
Yeah,
right? Like
yeah.
You can teach that in 3 seconds.
There you go.
That's a really good question. There's like over 150 different coined hip hop.
Yeah, that's why. That's why this is a good one. This is cool.
I would have to say, and I'm not a b-boy, I don't claim to be a
I'm
b-boy,
still learning
pop dancer,
stuff.
But I think I would have to say
we need dedos for this one.
Favorite that I can do or favorite that I can do?
Signature dance move on the dance floor.
Yeah.
On the dance
floor. Like, what is your signature go-to, I guess? Like,
signature go-to? I mean, whenever I start dancing, I start moving my head, so I'd say like the car dance could be one. No. If it's a legitimate hip-hop move, in the breakdance sense, I would have to say the six step's always been fun. Yeah. Not good at it. I'm not a b-boy. Six step would be one.
We need dance for this question.
That would be one. Here,
dance style, I could tell you pretty quick. It would probably be like old school hip hop. Yeah. Dance move is a little bit more controversial for me because I can't choose.
It's
so many.
If you broke that out during the high school dance, that would have been pretty that would have been pretty epic.
Those are the people where the circle gets around.
Yeah.
Like, oh, what's going on here? It's like a movie.
Yeah.
Mine would be Michael Jackson's what is it? The Billie Jean, I can do it. And people are surprised. It's like I could always do it. It's like the moonwalk.
And
like the famous like the weird moves that you like bring in the
space. Oh, you
like,
do that one a lot, actually. I do see you do that one a lot.
That's my thing.
Yeah.
That I always go to dances, I show Monique the heck, and then she gets the camera ready, or Hannah, and then you took
it. Yeah, like, do it again for the camera.
Later, I should be.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's so many styles under the hip hop.
There's so many.
And house dancing being one of them. Jacking is a movement that you do within it that's kind of like the movement of the beat. And I enjoy doing that one if I wanted to pay for it. House is fun. All right, let's see.
There's more. There's some not hip hop, some hip hop.
Yeah,
what are your nicknames?
Nick, my God. Okay, there's a few.
Don't get her started on that.
I made some I had. So,
yeah, Alice.
Alice, which is from Alice in Wonderland or Alice in Wonderland since I was a kid.
The Alice.
And then I called myself B-Girl Owl, so that's the new one. That's the. Because if we have to do these shows, I'm like, okay, something. Because I break them, still learning some of like, okay, they're big or owl.
I have a follow up.
Is there more?
Well, what would be your name for Kelly?
Oh, there's a few. Let's
she's
see.
Really good
there
at
was
this.
There was hip hop
like
Kelly. There was hip hop Kelly when I first met you and I didn't know who you were. And then you have one that it stuck and I did the drawing, which is B-Boy Rusty. I thought it was like B-Boy Krusty at first. Remember that? I told you the story and then, I was confused. It was Rusty. So I drew that because it gave me an
why
idea.
Why was it B-Boy Rusty? Maybe tell the listeners about that.
Why? Because he's rusty. That's why I remember.
Yeah, I don't know
what's the whole story. I just know that's what you said.
Well, they did ask me if I were to have a name myself, and I said B-Boy Rusty because I'm not a B-Boy.
Yeah.
All the moves that I do know that are B-Boy are rusty.
Liz is going to laugh watching this.
Yeah.
And Matthew's B-Boy Krusty.
We changed it, so now he's Krusty. So there you, and you're a B-Girl Hannah.
Okay. All right, I'll take it.
The more we can digest with name calling, the easier our name goes.
DP always gets me from
Yeah, you're good at nicknames.
Shout out to DP.
Shout out, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Another one?
Let's do one more.
Cool.
One more question.
Make it a good one.
Let's see.
Drum roll.
No pressure.
this is, no, darn it, there's too many.
Pick the one that speaks to you.
What the heck?
Don't look at too many.
I know.
Really
no, we did that
you're
one.
Gonna put me on the spot, right?
Yeah.
Oof, gonna take a deep breath.
Maybe that one. I don't know. There's too many.
Do a hip hop one.
I know. There's too many. Okay. That one's a good one. That one. There's too many good ones.
Okay, you can do two.
Okay.
I'll let you pick two, but make them quick.
Okay. wait. Oh no. Okay, I'll just ask like one of these. What have you learned about yourself through your relationship with hip hop? That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I figure out the second one of the answers. Was it the relationship? Yeah,
what
was
have
your
you learned about yourself?
About yourself.
Hip-hop. Yeah.
What have you learned about yourself? While learning hip hop.
Working smart, not hard.
That's
the reason I say that is because different styles are harder for me than others for sure. Like everyone has their different strengths and their weaknesses. And you know, I think what I learned most about that is the fact that you really wanna to dig deep when you're rehearsing, but also, you know, breaking down after the fact. So what I learned from, you know, training with a bunch of different dancers, different hip hop artists of the different elements of hip hop as well, is that we're always students of the craft, right? And so what I learned is always to be learning. You know, one of the biggest things that I, piece of advice actually from a non-hip hop dancer, who's actually a up and coming country artist actually, who lives in Nashville, I believe now, but he
was saying, Elvis.
The reason you go to university is you learn how to learn.
Right.
And so one of the biggest things that I learned just in the dance genre itself, taking that in, is you really want to be open-minded to different ideas. So I might have a different style that I like to do, but it might not be my favorite style. So I might take elements of what I'm good at, and I try to take that work ethic. How did I get good at that? And I apply it to the ones that I'm maybe a little bit rustier at.
They're more rusty. There's more questions burned than me.
Yeah, so and funny. So that's kind of how I was just kind of staying humble and always trying to be a learner of the craft. Because I learned that, you know, a lot of people who have those egos in the industry, they can think they're the best and never take that beginner class again, but it's not until you go back to that beginner class as a professional dancer, right, semi-professional, or wherever you are on the spectrum of dance and your skill level, you know, when you go back and you take that, you realize that you could have two left feet.
Yeah.
And that happened to me a couple of times where I was like, oh, this is so basic. Breaking it down slow is actually tough. So just being in the mindset that you always can learn something will allow you to be available to more skill, to more inspiration. And we talked about that earlier, actually, before we started the podcast, is that idea that, you know, people who put themselves in a box for whether it's like a music style or a dance style, you stop growing. Right.
Yeah.
It's like a plant that's like, I'm not going to have sunlight anymore. What happens if the plant dies? Right. So it's like, you don't want to say I'm not this or I'm not that. You really want to take experiences, you know, take a chance, make yourself uncomfortable.
Yes.
Because that's when you grow. Right. And so that's kind of always been my MO that I've learned from my mentors and just through my experiences.
Because I was teaching Gene.
Yeah.
What's in the Hat? We'll be right back after this short break.
Are you a writer?
Listener?
Dreamer?
Music nerd?
Want to cover artists?
Visit venues?
Write something?
Events?
Personal essays?
Anything.
Submit to Discorder Magazine and then take it a step further on Hail Discordia with your hosts, Zoe
and Izzy. Hail Discordia is an audio translation of Discorder Magazine. We interview writers, play music and soundscapes, and do a deep dive of each zine issue. Hail Discordia plays at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the third Thursday of every month on CITR 101.9 FM.
Submit something for the magazine and come onto the show, or just tune in and listen. We promise it's worth it.
This is Alex Runyons. My new album, Above the Clouds and On the Ground, encompasses everything I love about making music. I'm passionate about digging into the experiences of life and creating something with intention, meaning, and growth. Above the Clouds and On the Ground is about humanity, hope, and healing. Find it wherever you enjoy listening to music or visit alexrunyons.com. Funded by Factor and Canada's private radio broadcasters. That I was.
All right, back to the show.
I found two.
Well, you can have Kelly ask you one of them.
Ah, please.
Yes.
So you can hand him whichever you prefer.
This is too obvious. You already know that one.
What is it?
It says, who inspires you in the hip-hop community? We already know that one.
Oh, why don't you tell us?
Dettos. Okay. Okay. Well, that's
not Kelly.
And Kelly's young.
I have a hard time accepting compliments.
Div.
Okay.
You never understood.
And then have you thought of maybe the question that you want to ask our viewers while we wrap up? Oh, you'll have one more you want to share.
Do I ask him this one?
Sure.
Oh, last one, Kelly.
Okay, shoot.
What are the similarities and differences between the accessibility, disability community, and the hip hop communities, which fit in theme? So
maybe ask me the first one again, and then I'll.
Okay. What are the similarities and differences between the accessibility, disability, community,
like disability community,
and the hip hop communities?
So the similarities between the disability.
Yeah.
Sorry, let me. Read
this. It's kind of a long question. It's a tongue twister question.
I'm out. So I would say, so similarities. between the accessibility and disability community and the hip hop community. So I can get real cerebral with this, but time pending.
Yes.
I'd say the similarities are the love of art. That's an obvious one. Mm-hmm. When people hear music and it gives them a feeling, or they see a dance move at, say, Vancouver Street Dance Festival, which, rest in peace, is no longer a thing.
Maybe so neither is the mural festival.
And so, you know, when we see similarities, we think, you know, co-passions, things that you, say, Alice and I like, or other hip-hop dancers or artists like together, right? And that's obvious because you see the smiles on people's faces, right? So that's a big one, is that love for a common subculture or passion or interest. I could go on, you know, similarities, you know, really getting technical, but I think that that's just a big one. And then in terms of the disability, so differences, similarities and differences between disability. Okay, so in terms of similarities with the disability population, is when I look at dance in general, I don't really frame things for me as like a disability or an ability. Mm-hmm. When I look at abilities, and this is another thing with soul abilities in the name, yeah. Mm-hmm. Is the ability to take chances, the ability to improve, the ability, and I think when we say dis, we sometimes can categorize things.
Yeah.
And I think in the similarities piece of this is, if we are similar in and of the art itself, mm-hmm. then we all can kind of coexist, and that's a big similarity, because we can expect and that people are going to try their best. They're going to expect to really put their heart outs on the line and not and make themselves feel uncomfortable, right? But everyone's mm-hmm. making themselves feel uncomfortable. And so I think that that's really the best way I can kind of put it.
Yeah.
Because when we make that reach for one another, and I see maybe Alice is struggling, or she sees that I'm stepping on my two left feet, yeah. we can say, oh yeah, maybe try this, you know, because I feel awkward too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so if we're all open-minded that way, then that's definitely a big similarity between the two. Mm-hmm. We can all help each other out regardless. And I think when we did the workshop last
time,
the first time, right? We wanted to make it similar to what hip hop came to be in its infancy, which mm-hmm. is a block party culture.
Yeah.
So the idea that I can put a DJ in the middle of a city block,
DJ Cool Star, mm-hmm.
and start spinning a record, everyone opens their windows being like, where's that noise coming from? That yeah. everyone's partying on a block.
Yeah.
Right?
Wow.
And everyone's dancing on a block. It was a thing
in the block.
And yeah. so whether you are a wheelchair user coming out of your home, mm-hmm. whether you are someone who is able-bodied, mm-hmm. someone who has, you know, a developmental disability, let's say, mm-hmm. or anything like that, mm-hmm. the idea that we can all walk and party together is really the essence of the similarity in all of this.
Yeah.
So that would be probably the big similarity between accessibility and disability within the hip-hop communities. Mm-hmm. Differences sometimes, I think, are in sometimes the people who are at the top of their industry and they're trying to categorize things.
Right.
And so the differences, and that could be, you know, eco-political and all that stuff, but mm-hmm. I think to keep it really basic, in the sense is that sometimes when people see people that might look different, or people, you know, even on the other side of the spectrum, people who have, say, invisible disabilities.
That's like mine.
Yeah,
that's like this,
right. And we can all relate to some aspect of that. Is sometimes you know, I have a health condition even mm-hmm. that people can't see, but they're oh, you could do this.
You put not the hell.
Like, not yeah. so obviously, because I don't know your story from mm-hmm. Alice's, right? Unless she mm-hmm. tells me about it. So for me to make a judgment is totally unfair.
Yeah. Right?
And so if I'm looking at sometimes the differences is sometimes when we're in, say, just I don't know, a stereotypical hip hop setting like a mm-hmm. battle.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that everyone entering that battle is like gonna be dope, awesome,
yeah.
you know, like sick, like right. And then if someone shows up, maybe that's in, you know, with more of a visible disability, mm-hmm. someone might make a judgment who maybe doesn't have the education of,
right.
you know, they can be just as dope as you, but
yeah.
you know, again, like that. There we don't know bounds there.
Yeah.
Right. But what I think the hip hop industry and other industries are doing a better job of nowadays mm-hmm. is making the accessibility so that we can all kind of coexist under that same umbrella, that
yeah.
same battle that we're going to.
Yeah.
You know, because there's actually a group, and I'm going to give them a shout out, a group, Ill Abilities. Go mm-hmm. check them out on Instagram.
Yes.
they inspired me, and actually during the Olympics, the most recent Paris Olympics, with the introduction of b-boying, b-girling being an actual event at the Olympics. Not going to be in the next summer. I'm super sad. The next one, LA, yeah, do your homework, because this is an amazing athletic genre of competition, but I think, you know, Ill Abilities, they opened for that competition, and everyone on a world stage saw that it doesn't matter if you have a cane, this or this or this, it's that we can all compete or not, or just showcase our talents. And I think that that's something that we don't need to typecast. We don't need to say all these different categories, but you know, if we want to make categories, that's one thing. But if we really want to spice things up and just, hey, a competition's a competition, let's just go in like a block party format where everyone is welcome. Who cares, right? But I get that in sport and in more science-based approaches, we were talking before the podcast again about this, like, you know, science versus arts, you know, and how could those blend? If we have things like figure skating where it's a point system, or, and I know there's controversy about this too, but how do we grade good dancers? You know, it's so opinion-based, but then if we can actually measure it and say they did this move and this move and this move, it's actually more measurable. So say a person with a cane that's doing an air flare, as a person without a cane, battles a person without a cane that does an air flare. Well, now we can actually measure that because they're both competing in that same move. They both get points for it. Call it a day. Right? So that's the cool thing. And I think where the work needs to be done is how can we bring communities together? How can we bring abilities together? And I think that sometimes when, and again, this is no judgment on any one community that does it a certain way, but sometimes we bring up accessibility in a sense where we're only focusing on people who maybe look different, who have a different disability, and so this event's for them. Why can't we bring more things together where we can share this enjoyment of one thing, and so then there's not as much
Matthew
division.
You gotta
so
join me.
That's just my personal opinion. Again, like, our listeners can have differences, but again, it's like, you know, we have different categories for things. That's all good too. But I think we just need more events where we're really just bringing people together and demystifying that, well, this is just for this because they have this and this, that, and the other, right?
Exactly.
So mix it up. You know?
Accessibility.
I saw a video of one guy breaking with one leg. That was really cool. So it's possible.
Well, there was recently Nelly Furtado, Canadian artist, right?
That's another story.
They had Ill Abilities and the dancers opening up for her, I think her tour show that she recently did. So that was neat. It goes to show you that the demystification is having success, and we can still appreciate everything equal. That way.
And as one last one, who is your hip hop?
That was a tongue twister.
One last question: who is your inspiration in hip hop? That was the last question.
My inspiration.
That's, I'm curious. That was the last question I picked.
And maybe that could be our question for the viewers too, right?
Yes. I'm curious because there's so many out there.
There's artists.
Is it in general? There's so many of them.
I would have to say, growing up watching Michael Jackson and Thriller, I remember
there you
that
go, like they're the same, like Michael Jackson.
I just loved watching that costume and that presentation with all those dancers and zombies. And years later, in the Soldiers Dance Company, I was telling you I was a part of for a few years, we did a zombie piece. That kind
in
of
his honor, yeah.
A bit of that, and not in his honor particularly, but like I think that was one of the ones where I just loved it. So you could put on a mask and be a zombie. It was a full-out costume. Body
contortion.
I just remember after that performance, you're crawling into the crowd off the stage.
That's so cool.
Immersing with people, and they're like, oh,
there's a Halloween Soul Abilities idea.
Exactly. I still have a DVD of that, I think. It's a relic.
That's awesome.
That was definitely my first inspiration.
There you go.
Those videos.
Amazing.
Recording them on VHS, as if people know what those are still.
I remember. I had those.
Well, thank you both so much. That was amazing. And I loved what you both had to say also about accessibility, how it doesn't just benefit the people that we think it's going to benefit, it benefits everyone. It really does. It opens the doors for people.
I even brought
to
my
all
mom.
Sorts of things.
She had a good
there
time.
Go. Yeah,
she's
exactly.
Like, I've never done this. Alice has been doing it.
Yeah.
And I just encourage like all of the listeners, like, if you hear about a Soul Abilities event,
come check it out.
You know, everyone's going to have the first word that comes to mind when they get to know us, hopefully a little bit more.
Yeah.
But we want people to kind of hopefully know us as someone that's really kind of going through the middle of the town with our horns blaring, because we want people to jump on and think, hey, this is something that I can come to. And even as a spectator, someone who participates, it doesn't really matter. Someone that wants to give us even feedback, all feedback's accepted.
We
always,
we're
always, you know, trying to stay humble and do what we can for the community. And this is really what it started out at, is what does the community need during COVID? And where it's kind of blossomed is, you know, people want interaction back. They want things where they can go to and feel good about themselves. And even just listening to hip hop, right? Like, you don't have to come and dance. You can just come and watch what's going on. And if you want to participate later, that's cool too.
Yes.
Amazing. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you both so much. I think that's a wrap on our episode. And anything last to say, the Alice?
I don't know. There were so many things, and now I don't know.
Maybe
mic drop.
Decompress.
Mic drop. Yeah. Well, thanks, everybody. We'll see you soon.
Awesome.
Yeah, just come check it out. There's a lot. I don't know.
And check out Soul Abilities.
Check out Soul Abilities.
Where can we find more information about it?
Well, that's good. Yeah, I think we're going to have a question about like future events and everything, but we're coming up on summer workshops and everything. Yeah. So, you know, stay tuned to the Possibilities channel. We'll be doing
online.
You know, if you want to follow our Possibilities Instagram feed, we always promote shorts on there and reels
about upcoming events.
So please follow us, like, subscribe, whatever. And I think, you know, that's where our events are going to be posted for up and coming. And a lot of our events are free too. We wanted to just have the entry point be easy for folks to come see what we're about. And no ego here. We just want people to jump on it.
Yeah,
perfect.
Fun,
so. All right. Well, we'll check it out. And thank you both.
Thank you.
Well,